Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. It's such a joy to come into your homes to talk to you about faith. Today, I want to try to give you a perspective about your life. Perhaps some of the tragedies or the sufferings or the hardships that you've had in your life. And I want you to know that God works through those too to bring about good. Foundational scripture, Romans 8, 28 and 29, goes like this. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I so love that verse, Romans 8, 28, that one time I bought this ceramic of Romans 8, 28, and it said, God makes all things work to good. And so I bought it online and I had it shipped to me. And when I opened up the package, I looked and I was horrified because the ceramic plaque had a crack right in the middle of it. Apparently, when it was being shipped, somebody dropped it and it ended up with a crack. And at first when I saw it, I went, oh! And then as I thought about it, I said, wait a minute, this is perfect. And I put it on my mantle because the way that God works to good is often through the cracks, through the scars, through the brokenness of our life. So I think it's a perfect thing that happened to that verse that I put on my mantle. I remember one time I was walking down a sidewalk and I looked and there was a crack in the sidewalk. And out of that crack, there was a little flower growing right up. How in the world a flower could grow out of that crack? I have no idea. I want to tell you that in the cracks of your life, in the scars, the sufferings, the tragedies, that new life can happen. And that's the whole point, I believe, of this verse, Romans 8, 28, that God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. Yes, the joys and the celebrations and the good things of life, but also the hard things. And I want to talk about some of the hard things because oftentimes we lose perspective when we're going through the hard things and we think that they're bad when actually they're good. Let me tell you a story that I love to tell. It's one of my favorite stories. It's about a man who had he was a farmer. He had one horse, kind of a poor farmer. And the horse was hitched up to a plow. And, you know, he's out there. And as he's going behind the horse, plowing the field, all of a sudden, the harness on the horse broke loose. Horse jumps, takes off, jumps the fence, gone. The neighbors heard all about what happened. They come over. They go, hey, we heard what happened. That's bad luck. You lost your horse. And the wise farmer said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Next day, believe it or not, the horse came back. And it had a whole herd of wild horses behind it. And all of a sudden, the farmer has about 20 horses. Neighbors come running over. Hey, we heard what happened. You got all these horses. Now that's good luck. And the wise farmer said, well, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Next day, the farmer's son's out there and he's looking at all the horses and he gets up on one of the wild horses and he tries to break it, to tame it. Well, the wild horse bucks him off. The farmer's son falls, breaks his leg. All the neighbors come running over again. They heard what happened. They say, hey, we heard what happened to your son. That's bad luck. And the wise farmer thought for a minute and he goes, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Well, the next day, the army came to town, and they conscripted all the able-bodied young men to go off to war. And because the farmer's son had a broken leg, they left him alone. Now, was that good luck, bad luck? Who knows? The whole point of the story is, sometimes things seem like good luck, and they're not. And sometimes things seem like bad luck, and they're not. For example, I want you to focus on the crucifix here for a minute. Here's a man being nailed to a tree in utter humiliation and agony, And we call it Good Friday. If anything you would think wouldn't be called Good Friday, it would be that. Yet we believe that from this comes eternal life, comes salvation, comes the forgiveness of sins. See, God has a way of making all things work to good for those who love him. And it's the same in our lives too. I remember when I was a young man, I was 19 years old, I was dating a woman in college, and we loved each other, and you know, we were good for each other, and we had a great time. At the end of 9 months, we end up breaking up. I hurt deep inside from this breakup. From that breakup, in my loneliness, in the hurt, I began to seek God, change my life. And it was all because of that crack in the pavement. New life came forth. And if you were to tell me that that would have been good luck at that time in my life, I would have said, you're crazy. That was awful. Speaking about awful, my mom and dad have both passed away. I loved them like I loved life. My dad was my best friend. My mom took good care of me. I had them all my life, and now suddenly they're gone. As a Catholic priest, I preached at their funeral, did the homily, buried them. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do, the hardest thing I've ever had to do, bury my mom and dad. I mean, it's devastating to have to do that. Grieving, the hardship, the pain, the hurt, bad. Well, now I've found out something. I preside at other people's funerals, and I have so much compassion now. And I know just how they're feeling. And the words that I have at the funeral, I would have never had I not lost my mom and my dad. So God has a way of making the hard things of our life and working in them and through them to touch other people. I've become such a compassionate priest. You know, I think about Jesus. Because of his sufferings, he became a compassionate high priest. Because he was like us in all things but sin. He knows what it is to go through the hard times, the difficulties, the hardships. And so what I'm simply trying to say is, take a look at your life right now and you'll realize that, yeah, you suffer, there are some hard things, but what the scriptures are telling us, and this is a foundational verse, what the scriptures are telling us is that God is at work in this stuff. Like the crack in the pavement where the new life comes. And I want you to see that. I want you to gain a new perspective. Think about the Old Testament story of Joseph, for example. Joseph, one of the 12 brothers, the 12 sons of Jacob. And he was highly favored by his father. Brothers were jealous of him. If you know the story, one day they throw him into a pit. They didn't want to kill him. And they sold him off into slavery to the Midianites. So here's Joseph now, betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery, ends up heading down to Egypt, and God blesses him and prospers him. He starts going higher and higher in the political scene, and then he gets accused of adultery by a woman, by Potiphar's wife. He gets thrown into prison for 13 years. Now, was that bad luck being sold into slavery? Good luck? Who knows? Thrown into prison, in the dungeon, and then God was working in him. And I want to tell you, perhaps some of you are watching me from prison. I get letters from you all the time, and we have this prison ministry, pen pals, we're writing to hundreds of people. God is working in you. Oftentimes a person will find God in prison. Your character will be developed in prison. And maybe some of you just feel like you're in a prison. Well, I want to tell you that God knows how to make all things work together for good in your situation. Well, anyway, Joseph, as you know the story, you probably do from Genesis in the Old Testament. Joseph finally gets out of prison and he gets promoted because God was with him. He ends up being the governor of Egypt. There was a great famine in the land. All the other sons of Israel had to go to Egypt to get the food, and they end up bowing down before Joseph. Joseph had that dream, and that's one of the reasons why they threw him into a pit. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother. They couldn't believe it. And they were afraid because he was the governor of Egypt, And he forgave his brothers. Because remember now, when he was in prison, God was working in him. And one of the great works that God does in us is to help us to forgive the people who hurt us in our lives. That's God working for good. You see, what I want to explain to you is that verse 28, God makes all things work to good. In verse 29, he's predestined us to become the image of Jesus, go together. So the good that God is doing is that he's working in us to predestine us, to shape us into the image of Jesus himself. So Joseph became a forgiving man, and I love what he says to his brothers. He said, "What you meant for bad, God meant for good." Wow, what a statement. Can you come to that in your own life? Can you believe that all the hurts and the trials and the difficulties and the tragedies that you've had in your life, can you believe that God is making them work to good? I have this as a foundational verse in my life because sometimes when I'm going through stuff and I don't understand it, I want to believe that God is working. And I don't always see it happening right at the moment, but I know that it is. I remember a priest friend of mine, he was in my religious community, the Passionists. His name is Father Jim DiManuele. I'm 6'2", but he was like 6'8". Big, tall, good-looking Italian. He could preach. He had the gift. What a great, dynamic preacher he was in great demand. And let's just say that he had a healthy arrogance, a healthy pride. He knew he was good, and he knew that the people loved him. And he'd be out there preaching, and I loved to watch him and try to develop some of his style. Father Jim developed cancer, unfortunately, and he died at age 52, just at a young age. And I remember as he was dying, I went to visit him. He had a colostomy, and he was in bed, and at that time he had lost a lot of weight. And when I saw him, I saw the tremendous humility that suffering had brought to his life. He asked for my blessing, and of course I gave it to him, but in his suffering, God did a major good work, transformed him, shaped him, worked in him, helped him to become the image of Jesus so that he was ready at his death. And in the same way, can you see in your sufferings, whatever they may be, hopefully not cancer, but you know, we all have different things. I've had all kinds of problems with my body. Well, can you see that in these sufferings that God is working? God is the potter. He gets his hands right in the mud and he shapes us and molds us, and we're on the wheel and he molds us into the image of Jesus. I think about St. Francis of Assisi, my favorite saint, the great St. Francis of Assisi. We're all familiar with how holy he was and what a great saint and the wonderful joy that he had and the charismatic personality. But you don't probably know what happened to him early in his life. He was 20 years old. They were having a civil war in Assisi, the aristocrats and the middle class. And as they went to war with each other, and St. Francis got into the war, he ends up getting captured. He's a prisoner. They throw him into a dungeon, kind of like Joseph in the Old Testament. Here he is, a 20-year-old man. Now, you have to understand, at this time, Francis was a partier. He loved parties and, you know, the nightlife and women, and, you know, he was always the life of the party. Well, he gets thrown into a dungeon. They've got rats in there. It's all kinds of smelly things and darkness, and he ended up going into a depressed state. Here's this joyful young man, depressed, broken by prison. They let him out eventually a couple months later, but he tried to get back into the nightlife scene and things had changed. He just didn't have the joy anymore. So then he ends up going to a church and he begins praying. Yeah, there was Catholicism all around him at the time, but he wasn't much into that. And he ends up praying, and eventually he ends up having a vision of Christ. Jesus touches him with the stigmata, the very wounds of Christ, and he becomes this great saint. But it all happened, notice, it all happened through the depression that he suffered. Is depression bad luck? You can see it that way, or you can see it as a means of God working in you to develop you, to draw you closer to yourself. I think that there can be a mystical union that happens between you and Christ in your suffering. Now, I want to make this clear. Does God give you the suffering? Does God give you depression? Does God give you cancer and arthritis and all those things. No, it comes by being human. God isn't punishing us. We've all been born into these bodies, and every one of us in some way, shape, or form, we're all going to suffer in some different ways. But what God does is he makes all things work to good. All the ingredients of our life, the physical sufferings, the relationship problems, the emotional, even the spiritual problems that we can have, feeling separated from God, God will work in that too. I don't know if you ever heard about this story about this grandmother. She was baking a cake. I love this little story. She's baking a cake and her grandson was there. She says, "Honey, do you want a snack?" And he says, "Yeah, Grandma, yeah, yeah." She says, "How about some raw eggs?" He goes, "Grandma, no." She says, "How about some flour?" "Grandma, gross." "How about some cooking oil?" "Grandma, yucky." And then she took all the ingredients and she put them together and she mixed them together, put it in the oven, and given time, she pulled it out in this sweet-smelling cake. She put the icing on it, cut a piece, and said, "Honey, here's your snack." "Grandma, this is great. Love it. Delicious." And she said to him, "I want you to know something. The ingredients to this cake, if you take them just one at a time, they're not very good. They're yucky, as you say. But if you put them all together and you give it time, the right amount of time, you put all those ingredients together and a sweet-smelling cake, a delicious cake comes out." Same in our life. You just take one ingredient of your life and it may not be good. You may not think of it as being good, maybe a suffering or a relationship problem like I had with a girl, some kind of a breakup or something like that, grieving, loneliness. It may not seem good at the time, but look at the whole context of your life and you mix it all together and then something beautiful can come out. And only God can do that. It's the same thing about the crack in the pavement and how that flower comes out of the crack. Isn't life just like that? I believe it is. I've seen it in people that I've ministered to. I've seen it in my own life. And I believe, this is my foundational verse, I believe that God makes all things work to good for those who love him. You just have to have the perspective of faith. You just have to look at your life in a whole new way and not just take it one ingredient at a time, but look at the whole picture. Look at what God is doing. Remember, God's great purpose is to conform us to, remember, God's the potter, we're the clay, to shape us into the image of Christ, his son. That's his purpose. What's the purpose of your life? To become the image of Jesus. I have that saying foundational for my ministry: who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. Joyce Meyer is a great minister of the gospel. I've been to her conferences, thousands gather. But what you might not know about Joyce Meyer is that when she was a young girl, she was sexually abused by her dad for many years. This devastated Joyce. She struggled with her self-image. She had self-hate. She didn't like herself because she was a victim of sexual abuse. Well, God worked in her. And as she opened herself up to God, she developed a whole new way of seeing herself. And she realized that it wasn't what was done to her that causes her self-image, but it's who you are in Christ that causes your self-image. Now, what she does is she preaches about what's happened to her, and she is helping women especially who have been emotionally, physically, and sexually abused to come to life in Christ. So her mess has become her message. See, God knows how to make all things work together for good for those who love him. And he works in our situation, even sexual abuse. I think about mess and messages. I think about how I fell away from the church as a young man. I just, you know, I'm a religious now, I'm a priest, and I just never really liked religion. It was never a big thing for me. Never an altar boy. Just never got a whole lot out of it. It was boring. Didn't appeal to me. So I fell away for many years during my teenage years. Well, eventually, as I told you, I had that breakup with a girl, touched by the Holy Spirit, totally changed, came back, became a priest. Now I'm very religious. But I realized there's a whole bunch of people, many of them my age, I'm a baby boomer, who have fallen away from the church like I did. And so I have this heart to reach out to those who have fallen away, Those who aren't going to church, they're called nuns, not N-U-N, N-O-N-E, nuns. They have no religion. And to young people who find church boring like I did, and I want to reach out to those people, and one of the ways I'm doing it is through television. I want to reach out to them because that's the way I was. And what God is doing in my life is he's taking the hurt or the tragic situation in my life, falling away, not caring about God, not being religious, and he's using me now to reach out to the very same people that I was. Because I realized that if I didn't watch people like Billy Graham, or if people didn't reach out to me when I had fallen away, then what would have happened to me? I remember I saw the movie Jesus of Nazareth that so touched my life. What if Franco Zeffirelli and all those people didn't get together to make that movie? I wouldn't have been touched. And in the same way, my mess is now my message. I want to reach out especially to believers, of course, but to those who have fallen away. God invites you back. He's working in your situation. Your mess can become a new message. Like the flower coming out of the cement, in the cracks, the hurts, the tragedies, the pains of your life, new life can occur. And then, of course, I think about a friend of mine I was playing golf with. His first name is John, and I was in the cart talking to him, and he said, you know, many years ago, I was unemployed, didn't have a whole lot of money, partying, drinking heavily, and I bottomed out. And in my bottoming out, I sought God. And I sought God through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. If you have ever been to Alcoholics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous or Al-Anon or any of these programs, listen to the stories. Now he sponsors somebody. And that's exactly what happens. That's the genius of the 12-step program. Hurting people help others. People that have discovered that they're an alcoholic or they admitted that they're an alcoholic then become a sponsor for somebody else to help them. And then I think about other people who have gone through great tragedies. For example, a woman named Candace Leitners, her daughter, her 13-year-old daughter, Carrie, this is back in 1980, was killed by a drunk driver. This man was 46 years old. He had already had a DUI. And what she did, instead of just being angry about the whole thing, she lost her daughter to a drunk driver. Instead of just being angry about it, God works for good. She founded Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Since they founded this, drunk driving has been reduced by one half. And so my point is that even in the tragedies of our life, God knows how to work. I think about another woman. Her name is Bonnie Carroll. She lost her husband, Tom. He was a general in the Air Force, and seven others were killed, in the Army when a plane went down. Well, she found out that there was nobody to help her grieve. And so she founded something called Tragedy Assistant Program for Survivors, TAPS. And what happens is whenever you lose a spouse in the military, there's somebody there to help you. See, through the tragedy of losing her husband, through the tragedy of losing that little girl, through discovering that they were an alcoholic, God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. He'll make growth spring up through the cracks of life. God knows how to make all things, everything, work to good for those who love him. Think about some of the situations that you're going through in your life. I want you to gain new perspective. I want you to understand what's really going on. Don't just look at one thing. Look at the whole context, all the ingredients together. God will make something beautiful. And the beautiful thing, the good thing, the perfect thing that God wants to do is make you like Christ. Form you, shape you, mold you into the image of Jesus. So I saw that ceramic quote of Romans 8:28, and it had a crack in it. And at first I was really disturbed, I was really upset. Then I came to realize that's perfect, because God makes all things work to good for those who love him. And often it's through the cracks, the sufferings, and the tragedies of our life. Don't just live with passion. all things work to good for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. I talked in my preaching about St. Francis of Assisi in the dungeon, how it changed him, Joseph in prison, how it changed him. And I have a prison ministry where I have a number of pen pal ministers, people writing to people in prison. And I got a letter from a woman in prison. She said, I've been reading your books, Live Passionately, You Can Change, Challenges Make Champions, You Are Loved. And she said, it's really touching us. We're sharing it with everybody here. And so I sent her the rest of my books. Then I got a letter from somebody that said, we're not Catholics, but your Christian teaching and preaching has so impacted us and inspired us that we have been renewed. We've never contributed to any TV evangelist but you. You are divinely special to us and we're devoted to your ministry. I thank you for that. And what I'm trying to do here is to help people gain perspective in their life. I want you to have meaning in your sufferings. And also, I want you to gain perspective. I'm reaching out to people in prisons. I'm trying to help all people, people that have fallen away, young people. And we're doing this. We're reaching out with the gospel everywhere in the world. Would you support me either by buying my resources or by becoming a partner with my TV ministry? I'd so appreciate it. If you like the preaching, please support it. We'll send you an envelope. Just designate whatever book you want. We'll send that to you. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Don't just live. Live with passion. I heard about this water carrier in India, and he had two pots on this pole. And one of the pots had a crack in it, and it was losing the water every time he went up there. Finally, after about a year, the crack pot spoke to him and said, I am so sorry, I've been losing that water, and it's been terrible. And he said, next time we go, take a look at the side of the road. So he went up, and sure enough, the crack pot said, I'm so sorry, I lost that water again. And he said, did you notice all the beautiful wildflowers along the side of the road? And the pot said, yeah. He said, well, I knew you had a flaw. I knew you had a crack in you. And I purposely planted flowers there. And so you have been watering those flowers. Now I cut those flowers and I beautify the master's table. And so what I want to tell you is that in the cracks of your life, in the scars, the flaws, God takes advantage of that and uses that to bring about good. So I want you to realize that your sufferings have purpose. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.